want to get dizzy this morning. Just stare at that for a few minutes. I feel like you're in the time zone there. We're in the zone. We're talking about living in the zone. How many want to live in the zone? I want to learn what it means. I've been there, and I'm striving to continue to be there as I'm learning what it means to live in the zone, in the sweet spot where God has for me. Today we have an oval rug on the stage, if you can see that this morning, which is representing the zone. And too many times we're living outside the zone. We walk our Christian walk, and God has this place that he wants you and I to be as Christians, as children of God. He has a blessed place that he is longing for you and I to live in, a blessed place of communion with him, a blessed place of fellowship with him, a blessed place of everything we do is being directed and blessed of God. It is possible to be led by God on a day-by-day basis. Do you believe that? If you don't, then you're serving the wrong God today, because my God longs for you and I to have a relationship with him that's daily, that's hourly, that goes by the minute. You know what I'm talking about? By the second, that every moment of my life is directed of him. That means he is directing my footsteps. He is directing my path. His word is the lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. He is directing me. His spirit is guiding me. And there's a place that if I will learn to reside, I will be bigger than who I am. I'll be greater than who I am. I'll be more blessed than who I am. I'll do things that I cannot do on my own. It's the things that happen, and they say, man, that person, that's not them. That's not their ability. That's not their finances. That's not their job. That is God. That's the favor of God. And that's what we're learning to do, is walk in the favor of our God, the zone. Today, I want to talk to you about the thought, the struggle with materialism. The struggle with materialism. Now, today, I know that nobody here has ever struggled with materialism. This is probably not a relevant subject in America today, because we're not very materialistic, are we? In America, we don't suffer with this thing called materialism. Now, I know over in Ethiopia, they probably have a lot more harder time with this than us here in America. But in America today, seriously, we struggle with this word materialism more than just a word. We struggle with the concept of materialism. And if we're not careful, it even gets into the Christian walk, it even can get into the church. And if we're not careful, materialism will come and will stop us from living in the zone that God has for us today. Materialism begins where? Begins where your income ends. If you're taking notes, write that down. Materialism begins where your income ends. Materialism begins where your income ends. Think about it. Materialism begins where your income ends. What is materialism? Anyway, materialism is a preoccupation with things, with stuff. Materialism is not tangible commodity, but is an intangible condition of the heart. Let me say that again. Materialism is not a tangible commodity, but it's an intangible condition of the heart. So what is materialism? Today, if I was to ask you, what is materialism? If you were here today and you made $30,000 a year, and I said, what is materialism? You would say, well, the people who make $60,000 a year, they're materialistic. And if I was to ask the people who make $60,000 a year, what is materialism? You say, well, the people who make $120,000 a year, they're materialistic. If I was to ask them, they would say the people who make $250,000 a year. If I asked them, I'd say people who make $1 million a year, and so on and so on. What is materialism? And we can't put a number on materialism. Do you realize that? We can't put a number on materialism because it's not a number thing. But if we gauge what materialism is, it's an intangible condition of the heart. Because you can't judge me and I can't judge you. It's a condition of the heart. It's not about what size of home you have or what type of jewelry you own. It's not about what kind of car you drive. It's not about the label that you wear. I'm not talking about materialism in that sense. But we many times want to label that materialism. Because I don't know, you don't know what materialism really is when it comes to the condition of the heart. How can I call you materialistic when I don't know your heart and your life? How can you call your neighbor materialistic when you don't know their heart and their life? When you don't know the way they live? Well, they have a bigger house than I do. They must be materialistic. No, that's not true. So today we're going to talk about this thing, materialism, and how it can grip us and how it can keep us away from the zone. Today we're talking about materialism. If we could say today that we had airplane. Let's say, everybody, come put your arms out like this, okay? Everybody go. Just imagine that the airplanes today that we are having, those things are materialism, okay? Let's label that airplane materialism. And let's label the twin engines, one on each side of the wing that we have, that pushes this materialism. Let's label one envy and one greed, okay? On one side, we got the engine of greed. On the other side, we got the engine of envy. And these things are the things that power the plane, that pushes materialism to where it's going. It's what allows us to fly in our life is envy and greed. And we have these things. If we're not careful, they will push us out of the zone. They will fly us straight out of the zone where God has for us. We allow envy and greed to come into our life and to steer the plane of materialism. Those are the two things that empower this thing called materialism. Today, let's look at our zone again, okay? So how many know I'm a frustrated artist? I'm frustrated because I can't draw very well, okay? That's what that means. So we have the zone. Let's call this the zone right here. So we're learning to live in the zone. The zone is here, and we have the land of the ing out here, right? The land of the ing out here that we live in. We're learning to live in the... Someone tell me what the ing represents. Owning, bling bling, clothing, what? Housing. Everything that we're working to say, this is mine, this belongs to me. We live in the land of the ing. But what God wants us to do is to learn to live in the land of the zone, where the blesser, which is God, where the blessor lives. This is not writing very well. Let's try to get this again. Where the blessor lives. God is the blessor. And he is longing for us to line up right here in the zone so the blessor can pour his blessing out on our ing. He wants to take my ing, my owning, my housing, my clothing, my earning, everything I have. He wants to take my ing. The blessor wants to put his bless on it so that I become a blessing. My ing becomes a blessing to others. So we're learning what that means in this zone, that we're learning that God is the blessor. And he is learning what? He wants to bless my ing. As I learn, say, God, I am the what? I am the manager. You are the owner of everything that I have. You own everything that I have, God. All my earnings, all my housing, everything I have, technically, God, it belongs to you. Spiritually, God, it belongs to you. The name may say, the deed may say my name. But if I am a child of God and I belong to your lordship, I'm saying that everything that I am, it belongs to you. And so my housing, it belongs to you, God. My car, it belongs to you, God. My clothing, it belongs to you, God. My food, it belongs to you. My earnings, they belong to you, God. And what have you asked me to do, I am not afraid to do because I am under your ownership. And I am just a manager of what you bless my life with. So we're learning to walk in the zone. We are the managers. God is the owner. This thing with materialism, we got to be very careful about this because money is what? Money is a very powerful thing. Everybody say, money, money, money. Money! You've got to, you know what I'm talking about, okay. Money is a powerful thing. And money, you know, it's really funny because when we preach on money, it's almost like we're preaching on, you know, the other S word. If I was to say that here, if I was to preach on sex, everybody would be like, oh. He said, sex in the pulpit. God, help us. My mother-in-law loves it when I say sex in the pulpit. Sex, 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 sex. I say, okay, she loves it. You know, it's kind of when we say that from the pulpit. We're like, oh. It's like a deer in headlights. We're like, whoa. We don't look at our neighbor. We don't look at nobody. And when we say money in the pulpit, everybody's like, whoa, he's talking about money. That's personal. Let me say, yes, money is a very personal subject. It is a very personal subject, but it's a subject God talks about so much in Scripture. And as your pastor, I would be doing you injustice. I would be disobedient to what God is wanting you to know as a shepherd, to the sheep, to the flock, as a pastor. I would be doing you injustice if I did not take time to tell you what the God says about our money. Because money controls everything in our life. Let's be honest. We live for money. We work for money. We do things for money. Because without money, we don't pay our house. We don't pay our car payment. We don't feed our children. Without money, our life doesn't really get very far, does it? So money is at the center of everything we do. So this is why it's such an important issue as we learn to see about how we handle our money according to the way God has told us to handle it. And we're learning what it means. Look what the gospel says here in Matthew 6, 24. Jesus says this, no one, not even Donald Trump, Bill Gates, or you and I, says no one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve. It didn't say you might be able to. It says you cannot serve. Everybody say serve. This is the key word right here. You cannot serve both God and money. It's impossible. And so if money rotates the world that goes around, if we're not careful, even as Christians, we allow money to become the thing that we serve. We become a slave to it. We become a slave to our bills. We become a slave to our payments. We become a slave to our paycheck, living from week to week. We become a slave to this money, and so it controls us. We might as well take a little ring and place it in our nose, just like a bull, and let money lead us around because we are a slave to that. And God talks about the spirit of serving both money and God. He said it is impossible. It is impossible. You cannot serve both. You will have one master. You and I, we will have one master. We'll either serve God or we will serve money. All right, Pastor, I want to serve God, but how do I get away from this thing of money? Still not being a servant to that, because it goes back to this. You're saying, God, I still got a housing, and I still got earnings, and I still got some things I need to buy and purchase to live. But God, I'm saying that everything you bless my life with comes under the Lordship of Jesus Christ. It comes under the Lordship of Jesus Christ. So I'm learning to walk in that of saying, God, I'm not going to love money. It's what he says here in 1 Timothy 6:10. The love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. It doesn't say the love of what? It didn't say love of my job. It says the love of money. The love of money. It didn't say that money is the root of all evil. It didn't say that your paycheck is the root of all evil. It didn't say your boss is the root of all evil. He says the love of the money becomes the root of all evil. And so we're learning what that means, that we cannot serve money. We can't live just to make our money. We can't live just to get the next paycheck, and we cannot allow our money to lead us. When you come in the zone, you're saying that I am going to lead my money. Do you realize that? I am going to take the ring out of my nose and quit letting money lead my life. I'm going to take the ring out of my nose and say, money, no longer do you have a hold on me and dictate to me what I can do with my money, what I can do for God, but I'm going to allow myself to lead my money, that I'm going to earn my things. I'm going to have the things that God's given me. I'm going to have my housing, my earnings, my owning, things that I have my name on, and I'm taking my ing, and I'm going to lead my money right here into the sweet spot of God. I'm taking my earnings and say, you are no longer going to lead me out of the zone. No longer is the money going to lead me and serve me and pull me out of the spot that God has for me. But I'm in reverse of that, I am learning to come back and say, no, what I have is going to come into the zone of God. What I have belongs to God. What I have is not serving money, but I am serving God. And everything God blesses me with, this ing, I am pulling out of the land of the ing, and I'm bringing it back into the zone. That's the difference between serving money and serving God. I serve God. Does God care about my money? Yes, he does. Matter matters to God. Matter matters to God. That's why he talked about the things that we had, the things that we own so much in Scripture. Because he, you know what? He invented it. He created it. It's a system he set up for us. So it matters to God. But it also matters that we don't allow our money to control us. We don't serve it. We don't love it. We like it, we enjoy it, but for the right reasons. Not for lust reasons, not for greed reasons, not for envy reasons, but for the right reasons. Because as I am being blessed of God, I am blessing other people. My heart should be, you know what, I can't wait to get a raise. You know why? Because that just brings more money I can bring to God. It's more money I'm going to give to God. It's more money I can help other people with. I can't wait to get a bigger house so I can bring more people into my house and show them that God loves them. I can't wait to get a bigger car so I can pick somebody up and bring them with me to church. That's a free commercial in case you're taking notes right there. You can bring them with you to church. I can't see. Everything I have belongs to God. And so the problem is this right here. We've got, how many have seen road construction? How many love road construction? Do you love road construction? Don't you just love it? I mean, you're in a hurry, and it's like, you know, trying to get to Springfield, and it's like they're working on that strip between here and Springfield for the last 50 years, and it's not getting any better. It's even worse in Oklahoma. I can talk about it. That's where I was from, you know. They gave us this big award, and they clapped for us, this grants, because we invented the Pike Pass. You know, we get all this money from the Pike Pass, and they still can't fix the highway, you know. It's still in the construction for years, you know, even though all this money is coming in from these, you know, $3.50 to get your car through one way. That's a robbery, you know what I'm talking about? But yeah, we're going to clap and give them grants, and yeah, they still can't get my road fixed. So I hate construction, you know, we hate it. And I told you with this, I struggle with patience, just like many of you. I struggle with patience, and it seems like anytime I'm in a hurry that I run into the detours and the construction zones, and you're like, oh, you know. But what happens here is this construction zones that we're looking at today. How many know that Satan is in the construction zone? You know that? Satan is looking to detour you away from the zone. So this is what Satan does. Satan is building roads that lead us out of the zone. Satan is building roads, highways that lead us out of the zone. He is not wanting you to stay right here. He's not wanting you to stay in the blessed place. But instead, Satan is going to build roads and try to get you on a road trip that will take you out of the zone. He does not want you to be there. The first trip he wants you to get on is this thing we're going to call the pride. Pride trip. He takes us on a pride trip. He builds this road of pride that leads us out of the zone. He says this. He says, man, you're the man. You've made it. The reason why you're being blessed is because your abilities. And this is what we talked about last week when we read the scripture when God was talking to the children of Israel. He says, I'm taking you into the land of the promised land. It's a zone place I've got for you to live. He says, when you get there, man, you're going to have the biggest harvest you've ever had. You're going to have more things than you've ever had. You're going to have bigger houses than you've ever had. You're going to have more food than you've ever had. And God says, when you get there, don't stop and say, look what we have done. Don't stop and say, God, I've done this by myself. But he said, make sure that you stay humble and realize that it was I, God, who gave it to you. It was I, God, who blessed you with it. And living in the zone is not having good things. Living in the zone is not experiencing material things. God longs to bless you even here on earth, not just when we get to heaven. But God wants to bless you here on earth. But God says, when I bless you with these things here on earth, I expect you to use it to bless other people, but I don't expect you to take pride in what you do. I expect you to say, God is the one who gave me what I have. God's the one who gave me this ability to sing. God's the one who gave me this ability to teach. God gave me this ability to make money. God gave me this talent to do what I do so I can earn the income that I have. God gave me the ability to get an education to help other people. That's the reason why I get awards and honors, because it's what God has given me, not what I can do on my own. Look at me, you know. And that's the road trip we're talking about here, and it comes with a pride. It's a pride trip, okay? It's one thing that will lead you out of the zone. It's this thing called pride. And we say, I am the one who did it. You know, and pride leads you to other things in your life. Pride will take you, and someone will come up to you and say, you know, boy, that's a good-looking shirt you got on. He's like, yeah, I know. It's Armani. You know, Armani, you got it on the Armani Exchange in Mexico somewhere. It's Armano that you got at the flea market in Mexico. But you want people to think because you got enough money. You know, pride will lead you to doing things that says you are who you're not. You know, you got those Ray-Bans on, you know what I'm talking about? I used to take a mission trip when I was a kid, you know, and we come back with Folkleys and Robons, you know. They're not Ray-Bans and Oakleys. They were, you know, $100 sunglasses here in the U.S. we get for $5 in Mexico. And, you know, we come back with our friends, hey, look at these new Oakleys, you know. And so pride leads you to living that kind of lifestyle. You want to seem better than what you are. You want people to think that you are rolling in a high lifestyle, even better than what you're doing. And if you are doing well, you want people to know, hey, I am doing well. And you know what? It's because of me. It's because of me. So pride will take you on this road out. But the second trip we're talking about here that also is the opposite end of the specter is this, is the guilt trip. We have the guilt trip. I know you can't read this, but I'm writing it anyway. Guilt trip. The other road that we have here is the guilt trip. And so we have this guilt trip. We have the pride trip that leads us out. Then we also have another road that Satan's building. It's called the guilt trip, which is just the opposite end of it. God has blessed you, and you're like, you know what? Oh, we feel bad that God has blessed us. I've met people who are like that. They feel bad that God has blessed them. It's a guilt trip, and people try to use this on you. People will say, you know what? That's a nice shirt. Well, you know, I got it in Mexico at a flea market. And I only paid $2 for it. We feel bad that someone complimented our shirt. We feel bad that God has blessed us with things. We feel bad that things have happened, and we kind of just the opposite. Instead of saying, you know what? I'm blessed of God. It's a good place. Thank you very much. God be the glory. God be the glory that I have something nice. To God be the glory that God has blessed me with some things in my life. But instead, we take just the opposite approach. Well, you know, I've got to have the poverty mindset or God's not going to bless me. And if I don't have a poverty mindset, this guilt trip of everything I have, you know, Satan will use the guilt just as much as he'll use pride in our life to get us out of the zone. See, God wants you to live in this place to where everything you do brings him glory. Now, how are you bringing him glory by being on a guilt trip of what God has blessed you with? How can we bring God honor if we're guilty about what he's blessed us with? And so it works both ways. Satan is constantly building ways to try to detour us out of the zone, this guilt trip. People won't say, how much did this cost? Whatever. And you're like, it doesn't cost very much, you know. We'll even lie and say, things didn't cost what they did because we're so guilty of things we have. And we think that God's not going to bless us if we're not feeling guilty about it. And it goes back to the story in John chapter 12 about Mary and Judas. This is such an awesome story because this is Mary. She comes to Jesus and she's like, all right, Jesus, I've got this expensive perfume that she had. And when we study what this perfume means, it means that it actually would cost up to a year's wages, they would say. Many times this was the most valuable thing that some of these women owned was these bottles of perfume. And she brought this perfume and she took it at Jesus' feet. Not only did they wash Jesus' feet, as the custom of they did because of the dirt that would be in those roads and the sandals, and sometimes they went barefooted. They would come in, they would wash their feet as a custom of the home. But she took, not only did she wash his feet, she took the most valuable thing she owned, which was this perfume, and she began to wash Jesus' feet with this perfume. And it was up to probably a year's worth of salary. That's how much she was giving Jesus as an offering of worship to Jesus. And here's Judas. Judas looks at her and says, Mary, what are you doing? What are you doing wasting that on Jesus' feet? Now, she didn't say Jesus didn't deserve it, but listen to how he says it. He says, Mary, you know what you could do with this money? You should have taken that. Instead of giving it to Jesus' feet, you should have took that, sold it, and give it to the poor. That sounds spiritual, doesn't it? Well, yeah, that makes more sense. Why would she wash Jesus' feet? She could have sold that and given it to the poor. He didn't want her to give that to the poor. He was trying to condemn her for the sacrifice she was giving to God. And so he was clothing it in spiritualism. You know, we try to be spiritual about our condemnation of each other. And so he was being spiritually condemnation to her. Hey, you can sell that and give it to the poor. No, he was probably skimming it off the top, to tell you the truth. And he wanted her to sell that, donate it to the disciples so he could go out and have him a great dinner that night. Because that's the kind of spirit he possessed. He's the one who sold out Jesus. Remember? He sold out Jesus in the garden for the 30 pieces of silver. Why? Because he was a greedy person. Greed. Greed. He was living out of the zone. Judas was making his way out of the zone with guilt and pride and greed and envy. And we see it manifest itself right here to Mary. He says, Mary, you should have sold that and gave it to the poor. Because I am more spiritual than you. But yet I'm going to sell out Jesus. I'm going to make the money, you know. You see that spirit coming out of him. If we're not careful, that same spirit will come and guilt will say, you know what, maybe I shouldn't use this. Maybe if I did this. This happens all the time. We see people who do this. We feel guilty because we're blessed. And so spirit will get a hold of us. Instead of being, say, you know what, I'm going to bless the Lord with what he asked me. I'm going to bless the Lord with what I have. Everything I have belongs to him. I'm going to bless the Lord with those things. Wow. Envy and jealousy was at the heart of Judas, and it showed itself right here. It's envy and greed. It's materialism. It's a preoccupation with things that drive us. So how do we get out of this zone and make our way? How do we make our way out of this zone of materialism and get ourselves back into the zone? How do we keep ourselves from living in this land of the yin and materialism that drives our country, that drives the U.S. especially? I mean, everything we do is driven by materialism. So how do we live in it and survive and be blessed of God and still be in the zone? So we're going to talk about that. Let me give you a few things today as we close to help us get past these things, especially when it comes to materialism. How many's ever watched pro wrestling when you was growing up? I mean, I used to love, back before pro wrestling was a soap opera that it is today, it used to be real. We called it wrestling. You know what I'm talking about? It was wrestling back then. And, you know, we used to have favorites. I used to watch, I remember watching Wahoo McDaniel. You're talking about, tell me you know what I'm talking about. You're old enough to know. You know, and you had Junkyard Dog and different guy, Dusty Rhodes. You remember Dusty Rhodes, the American Dream? Anyway, he had this thing that he would put on. I'm Dusty Rhodes, every man's nightmare. Okay, I mean, anyway, he would put the sleeper hold on these guys. And, man, when he had the sleeper hold on, remember to do this thing right here? You know, the whole thing. But when he slapped the sleeper hold on them, these guys would be out like lights. They'd fall asleep in the ring. And I was thinking, you know, this is the same way that envy and pride and guilt and greed, all these things, if we allow them as Christians, they will put the sleeper hold on you. They will put a grip on you that you cannot get rid of. Materialism will put a grip on you. It'll put you in the sleeper hold. So how do we get loose of this hold? How do we take loose of this? The first thing I want to tell you about is admire without the need to acquire. Admire without the need to acquire. 1 Philippians 4:11 says this, not that I have speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. Content. What's he talking about here? Is he talking about spiritually, physically? He's talking about everything that I am, where I'm at today. I'm learning to be content. Doesn't say that I'm always 100% satisfied. Doesn't say that's where I always want to be. Doesn't say I even like where I'm at, but I'm learning to be content to where God has for me today. And so when I'm breaking this hold of materialism on my life, I'm learning to be content. I admire without the need to acquire. What does that mean, Pastor Gene? That means this, that I can look and see what you have and not have to be envious. I can see God blessing somebody else and say, you know what? Boy, I admire that house. I admire that car. I admire that suit. I admire that jewelry. And I can say, God bless you for them. God bless them. And I don't have to, at the same time, have to say, you know what? Why don't I get what I want? Why don't I get the next bigger house? Why can't I get this? And why? Not that God doesn't have another house for you. Not that you won't ever get another new things. But it's not allowing that spirit to control me. I am learning to live in the zone of saying, I can bless somebody else who's being blessed. And I can do it with them. Look what James 3:16 says. For where envy and self-seeking exists, confusion and every evil thing are there. When we allow materialism, when we allow greed, when we allow envy to come in, when other people are being blessed, we're like, oh, when's God going to bless me? They don't deserve it more than I do. I go to church more than they do. I tithe probably better than they do. I do this and that. And we compare ourselves to them, and we say, when they, you know, we become envious. It's a spirit of envy. And he says, when we do this, it's self-seeking, and it leads to every evil thing there is. How many know that's a lot? That's a big list. If we could list every evil spirit, every evil thing there is, that's a big list today. And he says, when we allow that spirit of envy and self-seeking to come in, that's what it leads to. Second thing is we develop an attitude of gratitude. How do you break this grip off of you? You develop an attitude of gratitude. Romans 12:15 says, rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. That means I rejoice. If I'm living in the zone, I'm looking at you and you're being blessed in a raise in your job, I say, praise God, you're being blessed. Thank you, God. You bless my neighbor. Someone else buys a bigger house. They sold their house, made a profit, able to move. I say, way to go. I celebrate with you. You got a new home. Thank God. Well, Pastor, I haven't got my home. Well, you got to approve my loan yet. And I work harder than they do. Man. Oh, when am I going to get mine? No. I rejoice living in the zone as I rejoice with those who rejoice. You get a new car, I'm going to rejoice with you. Let's rejoice. I also weep with you when you weep. But the problem is this. We reverse it. We want to rejoice when you weep. I knew they'd get theirs. I knew they were overspending. I knew this was going to happen. And so we would rather rejoice when they weep. And then when they rejoice, we would rather weep. God, what am I going to get mine? We want to reap. We want to weep. The Bible says, no, you learn to rejoice. And so I'm in the zone. Doesn't mean I have everything that I want right now. And when God gives you what I want, I say, God, I admired that. And God, thank you for blessing them. And God, I say, bless them again. And I admire them. And I develop an attitude of gratitude. And I thank God. Look what it says here. It says, don't be misled. 1 Corinthians 15. Don't be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. Some of you here today, you hang around people who are just the reverse of that. You know what I'm talking about. They want to rejoice when you weep. And when others weep, they can glide in that. They like it when somebody else is down. And then they want to what? They want to weep when somebody else is getting blessed. When somebody else gets a promotion at work, they're like, oh, when am I ever going to? You know what I'm talking about. And he says, listen, you need to separate yourself from those people. Living in a zone means you separate some distance between you and them. People who are positive. I don't want to hang around people who are negative. It's one thing, if you want to get separation between me and you, you be negative. And you'll find me separated from you real fast. Because I do not like negative people. My family will tell you that. My wife will tell you. My children will tell you. We are not negative people. We refuse to allow ourselves to be negative. And I refuse my family, my children, to be around people constantly who are negative. We will not allow it because it rubs off on you. He says bad character, bad company corrupts even good character. So it means even if I am not a negative person, if I hang around those people who don't rejoice when I rejoice, who don't rejoice when someone else is being blessed, he says that my character becomes corrupt. They rub off on me. I can't help it. They come. Their spirit will attach itself to my spirit. So I develop an attitude of gratitude hanging around people who do the same thing. And the last thing here today is we learn the secret of generosity. We learn the secret of generosity. 2 Corinthians 8, 7 says this, just as you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete earnestness, and in your love for us, see that you also, this one says, see that you also excel in this grace of giving. God wants you to excel in your giving, not your bringing. Because he's already expecting you to bring, we talked about this earlier, he expects you to bring what is his, but he says also there's an acceleration that he wants you to grow in when it comes to giving. So God, I bring you my ing. God, I bring you everything that I have, it lines up, and I bring my tithe, my offering, as a sign of that. I bring my tithe, my first fruit to you, as saying that you are Lord of my life. And as I have my ing here in the zone, he says, I want you to learn to take my bless, let it be on your ing, and now I want you to learn that you're giving it out to others when they need it. You're helping other people. He says, learn to excel in your giving. What's that mean? That means we're learning. It's a process. We're not natural givers. We're natural takers. That's the way we're born. It's mine. These Skittles are mine. This toy is mine. We're natural takers. We're not natural givers. And so that's why he talked to us. He said, listen, learn. Wow. He says, learn to excel, that you can excel in the grace of giving. Wow. This is a big thing because you know what? We're like Velcro, aren't we? Naturally, we're like Velcro. You throw it to me, and it sticks with me. Thank you, Lord. You know, we're big Velcro suit. We're catching everything that comes our way. Yes, hallelujah. But God says, I don't want you to just be Velcro. I want you to be like a trampoline. I want to give it to you so you can shoot it back out. He wants to give it to you. And I have said this before, now I want you to understand what I mean by this, what I'm talking about, this very thing right here. That God will get it to you if he can get it through you. Well, Pastor, if I had $1 million, I'd give $100,000 to Destiny Church for today. No, you won't. You can't give the 10 out of the 100 you got now. What makes you think you're going to give $100,000 when you have $1 million? Let's just be honest, because we're learning to be Velcro. So as God gets it to me, he gets it through me. God gets it. Why? Because I am blessing the kingdom of God. Pastor, do I give away everything I have? No, you got to pay your bills. You got to have a retirement. You got to pay off your bills. You got to support your family. I'm not talking about you're giving everything away, but it's saying to God, everything I have belongs to you. And as you lay in my heart, I want to learn to give some things I have away to others to help other people. I want to learn to help when I can. I want to learn when your spirit's saying, step out in faith and give something I don't necessarily want to give. And I'm giving it in faith, knowing that, God, you're going to bless that in their life. And in return, you're going to bless it back to me because I cannot outgive you. And God, you'll get it to me if I can get it through me. God will do that. We've got to learn not to be Velcro, but to be more like a trampoline that God's using. He's given it to your life so you can shoot it back out and bless other people. That's learning to live in the zone. In closing today, we've got to learn to beat the spirit of materialism that will come into our lives. It's the spirit of materialism that comes, into, especially in the U.S., when we're so blessed with so many things. Even the people who are suffering hard times have it so much easier than those around us in many nations. So we know that. We are a materialistic country. We're driven by that. God has blessed us. We don't have to apologize for that at all. God has blessed America. We know that. But our attitude, as musicians come this morning, our attitude has got to be this. When I'm driving my car and my neighbor's building a nice big new house, I don't look over and say, God. Instead of building that house, you know what I do? I downsize to half that size and give the other half to God. No, you wouldn't. That's a spirit of envy, of jealousy. And you're trying to put them down and use spirituality to make them look bad. What you're saying is, you know what? I'm jealous because I'm not getting a bigger house today. And you know what? When I carry that spirit, I'm not going to get a bigger house. But when I say, God, you bless them. God, thank you for blessing my neighbor with a better job. God, thank you for giving them a raise. God, thank you for them getting an inheritance. God, thank you they were blessed with this. Thank you they sold their house and got double what they paid for it. God, thank you. When I walk in that spirit of thanksgiving, I am blessing them. And I'm saying, God, and you're in control of my life. And I know some things, God, that I don't have yet that I need or I want. But God, even so, I'm going to bless those that you're blessing. And God, everything I have belongs to you. And God, if you want me to help others, I'm going to help others. When you ask me to give, I'm going to give. When you ask me to bring, I'm going to bring. Because you are Lord of my life. And I'm not going to allow envy. I'm not going to allow pride. I'm not going to allow guilt. I'm not going to allow selfishness to rule my life or my family. Because it drives us to be materialistic people who are ineffective for the kingdom of God. Does God want to bless you? Yes, he does. And I pray that God blesses you. And I can see it. As you come and bring God things, you're going to get checks in the mail. You're going to receive inheritance. You're going to receive raises. You're going to receive promotions. Things are going to happen. Why? Because God wants to bless you. Why? Because he wants to bless the church so the church can be a blessing to the community, to the world, so we can plant churches, so we can support missionaries, so we can feed the hungry, so we can help children who need help, so we can have youth events that pay for it. They can come in and experience the power of God in their life. So God wants to bless you, but as he gets it through you, he will get it to you. It's an important concept today. Let's don't allow the spirit of materialism to rule our life. Let's bow our heads this morning. Father, we thank you today, Lord, that you are speaking to us. That God, you love us enough to teach us, God, about our money and about our things. That God, you didn't just leave us out here without instruction, but God, you gave us your word to guide us, to lead us. With every head bowed this morning, I just want to ask you this question. See, Pastor Gene, as you're talking this morning, I realize that I've allowed at times a spirit of envy or maybe a spirit of guilt or pride, selfishness. I've allowed it in my life. And this morning as you're speaking, I just see it. I see it in my life, and I don't like it. I'm not going to embarrass you. Nobody's looking, but you say, I want to admit to God and ask God today to forgive me for carrying this spirit of materialism, the spirit of envy in my life. And I'm asking God to help me today. From this moment on, I'm asking God to help me not be this way. If that's you, can you just raise your hand and say, that's me? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else? Say, thank you. Thank you. God's speaking to you today. Thank you. Several hands. Anybody else today? Say, God's speaking to me. Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else today? Say, God, that's me. Yes. Yes. One more time. Anybody else? You say, God's speaking to me. I've got to admit it today. I've got to get past this. Thank you. Yes. Thank you. Listen, this drives us so much here in the U.S., and we've got to be so careful. We've got to be so careful. I'm going to ask you to stand this morning. I'm going to tell you a story. He said, Pastor, do you ever deal with this? Yes, I do. For our 10-year anniversary, my wife and I went to Puerto Vallarta, Mexico. And when we was down there, we bought some rings for our 10-year anniversary. She bought me this ring. I'm talking about bling bling. This is some bling bling right here. And this ring, something we bought for our 10-year anniversary. And I tell you the truth, I don't wear it to church. You know why? Because I'm afraid what people are going to think. They're going to think you paid a lot of money for this. And, wow. We're overpaying our pastor. This is happening. Or, you know, how can he do this? Look at that. You have no idea that I paid just a fraction of the cost of what it cost in the U.S. because I bought it in Mexico. But because I am living sometimes in the guilt trip, instead of wearing a ring like this and saying, you know what, thank God that you don't know where this came from. I could have inherited. Someone could have gave it to me. Or God blessed me with it. I'm worried about what people think sometimes, and I find myself right here just as much as you do. So I'm admitting to you that even I struggle with some of these areas at times. It's real easy to all of us, we look around, we struggle in these areas instead of saying, you know what, I bless the Lord. I bless God for everything that God blesses you with, and I pray that God blesses you. But I pray more than even so that we would rejoice with each other, we would weep with each other, and we would learn to be givers. Because the heart of who God is, He's a giver. He gave His only Son. And He's called you and I to have a heart of giving, not a heart of materialism, not a lover of things, not a lover of money, but He says a lover of Him. And anything He chooses to give to me, I choose to give right back to Him to be used of His glory. I'm going to close this out in prayer. I want to pray especially for those who raised your hands today. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I pray for every person who raised their hand today. All those who raised their hands that are suffering, God, with this attack of feeling guilty or prideful, or God, of envy, of jealousy, this materialism that gets a hold of us. And God, today, they're raising their hand and saying they want to ask for forgiveness. And God, they're asking that, God, you would help break the hold, God, has upon our life. God, we're not going to live a slave to money. We're not going to live a slave to things. But God, we're going to live a slave to you. We're going to live a slave to God giving our things to you, that God, you can use it. God, no longer are we going to weep, God, when somebody else rejoices. But God, we're going to learn what it means to rejoice with those who rejoice. Rejoice with those you're blessing. God, we weep with those who are weeping. God, we are carrying each other's burdens. God, we're giving to each other. We're giving to the community. God, but most of all, we're giving to you everything that we have. We're learning to live in a zone when it comes to giving the lordship of Jesus Christ. Everything we have, God, we bring our ing. We bring everything we have, God, we bring it to you today. We ask you to forgive us, God, of being materialistic people. Forgive us, God, of being people who are driven by the size of our house or the label we wear. But God, I thank you for those that can afford nice things, God, in this church. I thank you for those you bless. And I say, God, bless them even more. God, as they give back to your kingdom, God, and some of them are the most faithful givers. God, say, bless them even more. I rejoice with them. And God, those who are still waiting, God, for maybe their promotion or waiting for their raise, waiting for the house you have for them. God, I pray that you teach us patience. Teach us to be content in all things where we're at. And God, help us to bring our ing under your lordship, God, that God, that you can in return bless what we have. And we in return can bless others. That's our prayer today, God. And we say this in Jesus' name. Say amen and amen. Amen. Yeah, so you've got a hand clap. That's fine. Go ahead and give him a hand clap. Yeah. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus. Wow, God, we thank you that your word sets us free. The power in your word today. God bless you today. Hug a neck before you leave. Shake a hand and tell somebody, man, it was good to be with you today. Say, God bless you. We'll see you Wednesday night. You guys have a great week.